Good morning to everyone. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Great. So I'll try not to move. Arthur, you're always in charge of making sure that everyone hears me. I know many people that don't want to hear from me, but I'm happy that you do. In any case, what I wanted to deal with this morning, as I told you last week, is an issue that comes up on Shavuos that I have to say any year would be, in my opinion, challenging and problematic. But this year, even more. And the reason I say that was because I got an email from a convert who converted a few months ago. And you know, when a convert converts, you can't teach them everything about Judaism prior to their conversion. You teach them, I would say, the basic fundamentals of Judaism. And of course, they have to accept it upon themselves, even if they don't know the rest. And before Shavuos, she was told by her teacher that the most important mitzvah on Shavuos is to eat blintzes, or eat cheesecake, or to be more precise, to eat dairy. She wrote me an email. I can feel the tears between her words when she said that she's lactose intolerant. And she always thought, and was taught, that Shavuos is the holiday of converts. And because it's the holiday of converts, she feels like she's in mourning, that she can't celebrate Shavuos properly. Needless to say, it got me very upset, because when you deal with converts, you have to be extremely sensitive, and for someone to come along and say, first of all, a false statement, that the most important thing on Shavuos is dairy, not keeping the yuntiv, not staying away from the prohibitions, but eating dairy, that's an irresponsible statement. It reminds me of a certain convert that I dealt with years ago who told me that she wasn't happy with her first teacher. So I said, but what did the first teacher teach you? And she told me that for a month, they were dealing with Hilchot Asher Yatzar. No more, no less, the laws of what bracha you make after you've relieved yourself. And this was her introduction to Judaism. So in order to save Shavuos, I want to break up this morning an issue, which, as I said, every year is a problem. But this year, I have to say, with the proximity of Shabbos to Shavuos, it becomes even more of a challenge. And I'll explain what I mean. People have this notion in mind that Shavuos is dairy, but Shabbos is, of course, meat. Shabbos has to be meat, but Shavuos has to be dairy. So when you have a Shavuos before a Shabbos, this is what we're going to do. Thursday night, Friday, we're going to eat dairy, but Shabbos, Friday night, you have to eat meat. Everybody knows that many people say that, and that is the most false statement about Shavuos I've ever heard in my life. Or to be more precise, the most false statement about Shabbos and about Yontif. So if you have the source sheet in front of you, let's first square away Shabbos. Why on Shabbos, Arthur, do you think that Bruce has to eat meat?
Because Bruce likes meat, and it's part of, well, Shabbat simcha, but it's not. But the simcha is not just for Yontif, not for Shabbat, really.
So first of all, you're assuming Shabbat doesn't have a mitzvah of simcha. You're correct. How do you prove that? How do we know Shabbos doesn't have a mitzvah of simcha in Judaism, in halacha? Anytime you want to prove something, you have to go to the opposite. So what's the opposite of simcha? New Bruce, help him out. What's the opposite of happiness?
Unhappiness.
Unhappiness. What do we call that in halacha?
Mourning.
Mourning with a U in the middle. In other words, Shabbos is part of Shiva. It doesn't break up the Shiva. There's certain things we don't do on Shabbos, but there's certain things that a mourner has to do on Shabbos. And therefore, Shabbos is part and parcel of Shiva because there is no mitzvah simcha versus the Yom Tivs that have a mitzvah simcha, and therefore it breaks up your Shiva or your Shloshim that you're in mourning of before the Yom Tiv. Now, Arthur, based on that, on Shabbos, since there's no mitzvah of simcha, you said that there is a mitzvah of enjoying yourself. And Bruce happens to enjoy himself much more with a chicken or a piece of meat than he does with tofu. Am I correct?
We call it Onik Shabbat.
Yeah. Onik Shabbat. So look at the top of the source sheet. I quote to you from the Gemara. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbos says, "Bamem angolish Shabbat." How do you enjoy yourself on Shabbat? The Gemara answers, "Bebasar shamein ubedagim gdolim." The way that in the Gemara's time they used to enjoy Shabbos is with meat and with fish. And therefore the Shulchan Aruch Harab, the Shulchan Aruch from the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, says as follows. I have a wonderful friend who's a Lubavitcher Chassid, and he wants as much as possible that I learn about Lubavitch. So he gives me jobs, and one of the jobs is to quote more from the Shulchan Aruch of the Bala Tanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rav Shneur Zalman Miladi. He lived around the time of the Gra. They were contemporaries, and the Gra couldn't stand him. That was known as the Misnagdim versus Hasidic rivalry. So indeed, what's interesting is we always think that the Hasidim knew how to sing, but didn't know how to learn. And the Litvakim knew how to learn, but didn't know how to sing. When you start looking into the history, you understand it's not so black and white. And one of the proofs are the Shulchan Aruch Harav, which is a regular halacha sefer, has a few Hasidic things into it. But when you read the halachos, it's like any other halacha sefer. So I'm quoting from the Shulchan Aruch Harav. Shnei dvarim niparshu b'shabbos ayedei hanevi'im v'hem kavod ve'onek sheneemar v'karata l'shabbat onek l'kvod Hashem v'chubad. Says the Shulchan Aruch Harav that on Shabbos we have a mitzvah of kavod and onek. Leaving kavod out of the shir, onek. Says the Shulchan Aruch Harav v'le'ango v'onek achila v'shtia. How do you enjoy Shabbos? You eat and you drink. And he goes on to say, what should be on the menu? So if I was quoting the Gemara verbatim, I would have said, basar v'dagim, meat and fish. Says the Shulchan Aruch Harav, no, not at all. So according to our Shulchan Aruch Harav, oneg is objective or subjective?
It could be a test. Anyway.
What?
The question?
I'm sorry. Before the question, oneg Shabbos, enjoying Shabbos, is subjective or objective?
Well, they're objectifying it.
Who's objectifying it? Did you read the source, Bruce? We'll say it again. The source says that oneg is dependent on each and every place you live in the things that make you feel enjoyment. So, is it objective or subjective?
Well, here they're making it subjective, but...
You got it. Shabbos is subjective. To sum it up, how do you get to Onik Shabbos via the meal? Answer whatever makes you feel enjoyment. So some people think it's chulent, and some people think it's the most disgusting fish in the world called herring. Only we Jews actually can eat that. And some people say it's Yerushalmi kugel, and some people would say it's tofu. Whatever brings you enjoyment, it's fine. There's no halacha of what should be on the menu on Shabbos. The only driving force is what makes you get to enjoyment. That's Shabbos. Next. Bruce, you have a question.
Yeah, the reason why I say it's objective and not subjective is they're limiting the subjectivity to the plate, the meal. You know, in a day where food was scarce, it was a big deal eating meat or fish or whatever, where people, they went hungry a lot of the times, perhaps. So they feel that everyone would really enjoy what is on their plate, as opposed to enjoying a family hike or singing or learning.
Okay.
I mean, whatever it is, they're saying, you know what? What's on your plate, that's what everyone must enjoy.
Bruce, I 100% agree with you. And this year we're only talking about the menu. But Onik Shabbos is not limited only to the meal. You're absolutely right. But
the halacha focuses right now on the subjectivity of the meal, as if that's the holy thought.
Wrong, Bruce. The halacha sheet that I gave you focuses on that. But there's three dots there. You know what I took out? Exactly what you're saying. So I agree 100%, it's just not the topic of this year. When I write a source sheet, I like it to be to the point, because I've been the victim of source sheets where you have a whole Gemara quoted, and the lecturer takes two words out of it, and it gets you all fablungent. I can't translate that into English. Fablungent is not a confused, it's more than confused. In any case, Shabbos oneg via the meal is subjective. So if you're a vegetarian, you have one kind of meal. If you're a, what's it called, the guy who likes a lot of meat?
A carnivore.
A carnivore. If you're a carnivore, you have a different menu, and everyone's equal with regard to Onik Shabbos. When you come to Yontif, Yontif happens to be a day, which you said correctly, has a mitzvah of Simcha. So the same question we're going to ask about Onik, we're going to ask about Simcha. Is it subjective or objective? So the Gemara in Psachim, next source on the page, Daf Kufted Amun Aleph, brings three different points of view on that particular question. Right side of the sheet, Chayav Adam Sameach Banavu V'nei Beito Baregel, Shene'emar V'samachta B'chagecha, B'mem Esamcham B'yayin. What's the way to fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha and Yontif?
He drinks wine.
Wine! That's the way, objective. Simcha, you have to take wine. Second view in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. Bizman shebet ha-mikdash kayao men simcha lo bebasar. Shenema bezavach la-shlamim va-achalta sham v'samach le-lifnei Hashem alokecha. Ve'achshav she'en bet ha-mikdash kayao men simcha lo be-yayin. Says Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, no. If the Beis HaMikdash was here, we would have the obligation to bring how many korbanos to the Beis HaMikdash? How many? Three. One is a korban olah that's totally burnt. That's olat ri'iyah. When you'll say on Friday morning the musaf, and we'll say that ve'ein anachnu yucholim la'alot, to go up, ve'lei re'ot, to be seen, ve'lishtachavot lefanecha, and to bow before you. Continue. Ve'la'asot chovotenu beveit bechiratecha, and we'll do our obligations when we come for the holidays to the Beis HaMikdash. So on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, we have three particular korbanos. The first is olat ri'iyah, lo yira'u panai rekam, you can't come up empty-handed. And then there's two korbanot shlamim, shalmei simcha and shalmei chagiga. Part of it you gave to Bruce the Kohen, and part of it you and the family ate. Says Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, how did we get to Simcha? We ate from God's barbecue. What can be better? God saying, come eat from my barbecue. You want a little remnant of that? Look at a Hasidic dish. The Rebbe touched the fish. All the Hasidim want a piece of it. Am I correct? Why do they want a piece of the Rebbe's fish? Because the Holy Rebbe touched it. So, Kol Shekein. The Holy Mizbeach, God's actual barbecue, touched it. Obviously, it gives you great simcha. Now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, the way to do it is with wine. So we have two deos in the Gemara that says it's objective, either wine or korbanos. No korbanos, wine, according to those two points of view. Not subjective, objective.
Yeah, why the switch?
Who switches?
Objectivity. From subjective to objective.
Because we're not dealing with oneg. Oneg is enjoyment. Some people enjoy themselves by putting their feet up, and some people like to go to a tiyul. You know that, Bruce. A typical husband-wife fight. The day off. What are we going to do? Vacation. So some people have the vacation of Ashrei Yoshve Veisecha. They like to sit at home and do nothing. Or they like to sit in the hotel and do nothing. Their exercise is to go from the buffet to the lounge chair, back to the buffet, take a nap, back to the tea room, dinner, and that's their vacation. And other people say, that's not a vacation. Vacation, you have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. By 6:30, you're out the door skiing and walking and up and down and hiking, and you come home totally sunburned and sweaty, and you're tired, and you say, ah, I'm on vacation. That's oneg, objective. But simcha, according to these two deos, objective. Wine, or according to one day, a time based on Mikdash Shlomim. But today, wine. Third point of view is Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda says, with due respect, it's subjective, not objective. Anashim b'ra'u ilahem, v'nashim b'ra'u ilahem, anashim b'ra'u ilahem b'yayin, v'nashim b'may, tanu d'beli yezer b'bovel b'din tzivoniyim, v'er tzal b'yepishtan b'guatzin. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda says it's subjective. Men like wine. That's the way the Mekayim Simcha. Women don't like wine in the times of the Gemara. So how did you get the Simcha? By getting new clothing. Let's continue. My kids don't like wine, don't like new clothing. How do you get them to the level of Simcha? You got to know your kids. You got to know your kids. And based on what you know, that will ultimately be what you're going to do. So according to this Gemara, unlike Onik Shabbos, which is totally subjective, when it comes to Simcha, one daya says that it's as subjective as Shabbos, but two daya say today it's with wine. So la halacha, how do we paskin? Do we have to have wine at the meal, whether we like it or not? Or is it subjective to what you want? So let's first look at the Rambam, because the Rambam on the right side is sort of a combination of them both. It's a hard Rambam to understand, but it's a beautiful Rambam. Says the Rambam in Hichos Yom Tov, and I quote, excuse me, I'm just making it bigger. The Rambam says, "V'samachta b'chagecha, afapisha simcha amurakan, he korban shlomim, yesh bichlal ota simcha lismachu, vano v'vnei beito, v'kol echad v'echad karaui lo. Keitzat, haktanim otemem kayot v'egozim, anashim kone lehem gadim, v'anashim ochnim basar v'shotim yayin. She'en simcha elo bebasar, v'en simcha elo beyayin." So says the Rambam, it seems to be that he's like Rabbi Yehuda. Whatever the people like, that's what you give them, and then they'll have simcha. They like new clothing? You buy them new clothing. They like treats? Give them treats. But somehow, when he gets to a man, he doesn't exactly say it's subjective. He's sort of saying, objective by men, it's meat and wine. Because he doesn't just say, men like meat and wine. He adds that postscript, which is bolded. She'en simcha ela bebasar ve'en simcha ela beyayin. Right? So according to the Rambam, meat and wine seem to be objective simcha. But it's not enough. You need to get people to simcha by virtue of other things as well. So if it's Ben and Jerry's, it's Ben and Jerry's. If it's...
I'm formulating it this way because Basar wasn't listed in the Gemara. It said the Yaya.
You have just asked a $1 million question, Arthur. It's a very good question. Where did the Rambam come up with Basar? We just read the Gemara. Nobody suggested Basar. It was just wine. We're going to deal with it. Give me a few minutes. We'll get to it. Bottom of the sheet, you already could see the answers if you find it more interesting than what I'm about to say. And I'm sure it is more interesting. So, daya number one of the Rambam is that it's subjective, but somehow meat and wine becomes objective for men. Middle point of view, the Drisha, like Arthur said, the Drisha says, אנחנו יודעים אתם מצד עצמו משמח, או מצד חשיבות הקורבן היה משמח. Says the Drisha, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira says, the way to get to Simcha was via the Korban Shlomim. So was it in the enjoyment of eating from God's barbecue, or the enjoyment of eating meat? Because Bruce said a few minutes ago that at that time, meat was very rare. They would eat a lot of bread. They would eat like 6 pieces of bread with 1 piece of meat. So is it the fact that they ate meat, or is it the fact they ate holy meat from the korbanos? Nafkamina would be today. And indeed, says the Drisha, that's the reason why today, since we don't know what the answer is with meat, and simcha ela b'yayin, and that's what the Bach, who wrote a Perush on the Torah. Everybody know the Bach?
No.
Rav Yoel Sirkis wrote a Perush on the Torah called the Bayit Chadash. Rosh Tevot Bach. The new house. That was what we call in Yiddish a shtuch. You know what a shtuch is? When you want to like say something cynical to someone, you put a shtuch. So his whole Perush is called a shtuch. Why? The Beit Yosef wrote a Perush called the House of Yosef. The Bach didn't like the Beis Yosef's Shita on all these issues. So what did he do? He wrote a Perush disagreeing with the Beit Yosef. So he called it the new house, meaning the Beit Yosef is the old house. No good. I got the new house. Got it? All right, that's the commercial break for today. Now, the Bayit Chadash says, like the Drisha, V'alachshav shein beis hamikdash kayam, and ikar simcha ela beyayin, aval basar eino ikar simcha, delo ashkechacha dechtiv beis simcha bebasar shel shlamim. So just like Arthur said, and he was correct, the Gemara talks about wine, doesn't talk about meat. So today, we have an objective way to get to simcha, it's wine. You can have wine with your meat, or you can have wine with your cheese. Both are served around the world. There's a cheese and wine night. There's meat at a restaurant where they serve wine. Wine should be on the menu. And the third point of view is, of course, the point of view that would say it's all objective. Says the Yireyim v'lo yayin bilvad. Ela kol davar shemesameach et ha'adam. Sefer HaChinuch says that achilat basar v'shtiyat yayin v'libosh begadim chadashim v'chiluk peiros u'minei metika kol zeh shezacharti b'chlal v'samachta b'chagecha. So according to this third point of view, whatever makes you happy. Wine, meat, new clothing, treats, whatever it might be. So if you're on a diet and they say, okay, it's yontiv, you can eat a piece of cake, that's your simcha. If you're not on a diet and you eat pieces of cake all the time, maybe it's wine. And if you can't drink wine because it makes you sick, maybe it's meat. And if it's not meat, it's not wine, maybe it's a good piece of salmon. So as we can see, with regard to Shabbos, it's totally subjective. But with regard to Yom Tov, there's three points of view. One, objective meat and wine, at least for men. Two, objective wine for everyone. Or three, subjective to whatever you want. Now, Arthur asked a question earlier. Where did the Rambam come up with meat? The Gemara talked about wine, didn't talk about meat. So, where did we see that meat comes into the equation? And I said to Arthur, it's the million-dollar question, because the Beit Yosef of Yosef Karo, who paskins like the Rambam in 99% of the cases, said, where did the Rambam come up with this? This seems to be, as we say in Yiddish, far-fetched. Don't correct me. I know it's not Yiddish, but it sounds like Yiddish. Asks the Beis Yosef on the bottom of the page, V'yeshli t'mo'ala Rambam, lama yitzrich she'achlu basar v'yishtu yayin, da'haba b'rayta k'tani, de'bizman hazeh, en simcha ela b'yayin, u'mashma b'yayin, sagi v'lo basar. So says the Beis Yosef, I love the Rambam, but where did he come up with it? The Gemara talked about shlomim meat, korbanot meat. Never talked about barbecue meat, broiled meat, cooked meat. It only talked about korbanot meat. So where does the Rambam come up with this new idea? And there's different answers given to the Rambam. Let's go through them rather quickly, and we'll see what they say. The first answer is the Yamshel Shlomo. Rav Shlomo Luria, who lived around the time of the Ramah, a little after the Ramah, I think he was a student, says, Pshita, she'en simcha ela bebasar, da simchas yom tov yasuda, v'loni krasuda liyot po leiv tov v'simcha belo achilat basar. Says the Yamshel Shlomo, of course you need to eat meat. What do you mean? There's no good meal. That's a milichik meal. A milichik meal is weekdayness. A milichik meal is 9 days. That's not simcha. Simcha, objective, is with meat. But he explains, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when you ate the korbanot meat, you got to simcha. It was so happy. Baruch Hashem, you can eat from God's barbecue. And what did they drink with the meat? Anything they wanted, says the Yamshel Shlomo. They would drink a fidu while you shelter mayim, because meat did it. Aval achshav shein lanu simchat shlomim and simcha elo b'yayin v'zulata ino yotze yidei chova b'simcha yom tov v'adarabba v'amei yisameach et atzmo. Says the Yamshel Shlomo, meat for sure has to be on the menu, objective. That you don't need a gemara for that. What do you need a gemara for? You need a gemara to explain what do we do to substitute the korbanot. Because if the korbanot were on the table, we'd be happy. If it's just for my barbecue, I'm not as happy. So you need to add wine to the menu. Why do you need to add wine to the menu? For a very simple reason. Because Rabbi Lewis will explain that when he takes a certain pill, like Percocet, or he drinks a good schnapps, all of a sudden he's calm. His defense mechanisms go down. You can talk to him. He's a pussycat, a puppy dog. Says the Yamshel Shlomo, what does wine do to you? It makes you calm. And I love his words. I quote, Im sheloy efidad rabba b'mei yisameach et asmo. How is he going to be happy? Im lo shishte, he has to drink wine. V'yishkach reisho lismoach v'liftoach b'Hashem sheyachzor eleinu. V'af b'yemei galutenu v'hiyotenu eretz oyvenu lo ma'as v'lo ga'alotanu. We're living in Galus. There's no Beis HaMikdash. You just came home from shul on Shavuos morning. If you were up all night, you're cranky. Even if you weren't up all night, you're cranky. Because davening is rather long. And at the end of the davening, you didn't end with a high. You ended with a low. You say, and we can't go to the Beis HaMikdash, and we want a Beis HaMikdash again, and So someone comes home, he's ultimately depressed. How's he going to lift himself up and get to Simcha? With wine. Meat, for sure, but with wine. Meat is to fulfill Simcha at the Seuda, but it's not good enough if it's not korbanot meat. You need to also have wine. That's answer number one. Answer number two is the Torah Temima. The Torah Temima, Rav Epstein writes, "She'en simcha elo bebasar v'ashlomi v'norak emtza'in lechol basar kodesh. Aval ina chinami, she'im ein basar kodesh, achayuv lechol basar chulin. She'abasar pa'el laguf li'itorerut ha'simcha, uv'ze dome li'yayin she'me'orer la'simcha." Says the Torah Temima, what is the common denominator between wine and meat? Meat and wine do exactly the same thing. For a brief few seconds, it makes you forget about your problems. Most people don't eat a good steak in a bad mood. So just like wine makes you forget about your problems, so does meat. So he says, of course the Gemara said that indeed you need to eat meat. Because if the Gemara would not assume that, they would have said, En simcha ela bekorban shlomin. That's not what it said. It said basar. And he said that indeed, what happened is that when the basar is there, you need it because it does what wine does. So wine is an example. But you also need meat because it does the same thing. It makes you get in a good mood. So the Yamshel Shlomo says, of course you need meat. There's no meal without meat. The Torah Temima agrees and says wine makes the meat better. Okay? So one day I said, we need Shlomim. Without Shlomim, the meat is not as transformative. We need wine. The Torah Temima says the wine will only work with meat. If you eat meat and cheese, it doesn't do the trick. And the third daya is the Bach that we quoted earlier, who proves that indeed you have a halacha of meat, even though the Gemara didn't say it, from the following law. We read this a few times a year. In Parshat Emor, we read it on the first day of Sukkot, in Chutz Laaretz, first 2 days of Sukkot. We read it on the second day of Pesach. And because this year, unfortunately, we weren't in shul on the second day of Pesach, we're a little rusty. This is the way the laning starts. You'll probably all recognize it. Shor o chesef o eis ki yivaled v'haya shivat yamim tachat imo, etc., etc. And then the pasuk says, o tov ve'et bino lo tishchetu b'yom echad. You're not allowed to shecht, let's say, a calf, and it's mother the cow on the same day. Like say, Rav Hashem, you can't do it. Do you have to then, if you have a butcher store, make sure to have a sticker on the product saying it wasn't shechted today? Or, not my business. Says the Gemara, most of the year not your business, except for 3 times a year. What are the 3 times a year? Take a wild guess. Pesach, Shavuos, right? In other words, on those times of the year, people have to buy meat to mekayim simcha. And therefore, you must, I repeat, you must have a sticker telling them, the mother was shechted today, you can't shecht the calf. If you didn't need basar after the Beis HaMikdash, why would the halacha still be binding? From here proves the Bach, of course, meat was part of the meal. The whole machlokas was yayin, yes, all the time, or yayin subjective. After this whole razzle-dazzle is over, we have one point of view with 3 different answers where he got it from, that you definitely, at least for men, need meat and wine. We have another point of view saying wine, and a third point of view saying anything you want. Based on this, if you're coming to Shavuos, what must be on the table according to two out of the three deos?
Wine.
And according to the Rambam, with three points of view that we quoted proving his point, you also need meat. But I'm willing to say, okay, only the Rambam said meat. Wine was written in the Gemara also two out of three. So therefore, the first and foremost thing you need to teach a convert is, you're coming to a Yontif meal, what must be on the table? Not Ben and Jerry's, not cheese, not blintzes, not cheesecake. What must be on the table?
Wine.
First and foremost. And then you could say maybe meat. Yes, no, don't know. But here, you could say maybe it's subjective. If you like meat, that's what you should eat. It brings you to simcha. Or you don't like meat, something else. Based on this, to make a big deal and to say, I must have milchiks. Milchiks is a wonderful custom, long-lasting custom, but a custom it is. And no one that's in lactose intolerant has to eat milk on Pesach. It's not a takana derabanan, definitely not a doraisa. If anything, wine for sure. Maybe meat as well. However, before Bruce's question, I would say that if you have to choose between Shabbos and Yontif, and you only have one brisket, where is the more appropriate place to serve it?
Shabbos.
Wrong. Yontif, because on Yontif there is a point of view that says, objectively you need meat on the table. And the Bach, and the Yamshel Shlomo, and the Torah Tamima all prove the point of the Rambam. On Shabbos, nobody says you must have meat. The Shabbos is totally subjective of what you like. So if you have to choose and say, okay, I have one piece of meat, I want to serve it, the most appropriate, suitable place to serve it would probably be Yontif, because according to one view, that's the ultimate simcha, with wine. Shabbos, if you enjoy cheesecake, and you want to make a meal out of blintzes, you fulfilled all the mitzvot of Shabbos all the way through. So to make a statement now, Shabbos you need to have fleishiks, but Yontif, Shavuos, you must have milchiks, totally false. Shabbos, anything that brings you to Oneg. Yontif, according to one point of view, you probably need meat on the table. Number two, and important, we have two points of view out of three saying you must have wine. So that should be where the attention should be put. Namely, make sure you have wine on the table. Afterwards, we can start a machlokas, milchik fleishik. Bruce, you had a question.
Is wine indicative of the drink of the land as a special drink? Because if you're from Scotland, it might be whiskey. No native ever heard of wine. So is it napka only wine? Or can it be your special drink that makes you completely happy?
I think you're asking an excellent question. I don't to date have a good answer, because I'll tell you what my debate is. When you look in the Shulchan Aruch about Hilchos Kiddush, there's always a pecking order. First wine and grape juice, and then other things. So it seems like wine has a special status. After all, it has its own bracha, Borei Priya Geffen. We don't have a special bracha on whiskey of Borei Minei Mizonos, for example. So therefore, wine seems to be higher up there. Arba Kosot is wine. They made a gezeira of stam yenam. They didn't make a gezeira of stam whiskey or stam shechar. On the other hand, if it's totally based on feeling, namely when you drink wine, this is what it does to you, I can begin to hear maybe whiskey does it even better. So I debate on that point, and therefore I tell people, when they ask me, I say, look, Friday night I would say use wine, because the pecking order is wine then challah. Shabbos morning, I can begin to hear it's a derabanan, maybe make on whiskey kiddush. I personally would say make it on grape juice, and then you can drink your whiskey. I would not advise, health-wise, to mix whiskey with wine. It does a terrible thing to your body. So, going back to our convert, wine, yes. Meat, we begin to discuss on Yontif. Milchiks, totally a custom. Yes, Arthur.
Could it be that Rambam was thinking along these lines when he mentioned meat, that perhaps it's a secha, the mikdash, in the sense?
I would have said that, Arthur, but no. The reason I say no is because the Rambam says, even though, I didn't quote it here on the daf, but even though simcha means shlomim, he says, yesh bichlal ota simcha, part of the mitzvah v'samachta b'chagecha, is to make everyone happy. So he seems to say that even today it's the oraisa. Unlike the Tosfot, which indeed says the mitzvah is shlomim, and if you don't have shlomim, we drink wine, we eat meat, it's totally the Rabbanim. But the Rambam, he says it's part of the samachta b'chagecha. Okay? Now, I want to end with the following note. I believe that if you just have a milchik meal on Shavuos, you're missing out. Because I believe that when you got the Torah says, let me challenge you to lead a Torah lifestyle and yet not violate the Torah. And what do I mean? In the Shulchan Aruch, there's a Ramah. And the Ramah brings the minhag of milchiks. But unlike what you probably did or do at home, the Ramah says to do something else. Look at the next and last source on the sheet. The Ramah says, v'nohagin b'chol makom. Everywhere. On the first day of Shavuos, in Israel, from our perspective, the only day of Shavuos, there's a minag everywhere to eat milchiks. Okay? Minag. So the lactose intolerant will not do this minag. You don't have to get sick to do a minag. Maybe for Arba Kosalt, Takana de Rabbanon, you need to. Not for a minag. Now comes the Ramah, and Nirah li atam, Shu kemo ashnei tafshilin shelokhin below Pesach. Zecher la Pesach vezecher la kachagiga kein ochli machalei chalav ve'achar kach ochli basar ve'tzuchim lavim ahem bet lechem al ashulchan shemimkom amizbeach v'yesh b'zeh zikaron lebet alechem shayu makrivin b'yom habikurim. Comes on the Ramah and says, you know what the minag is? You thought the minag was milchik? No. The minag is milchik and then fleishik. Why? Because it's tough. If you're going to make a motzi and you're going to eat it with cream cheese, then says the Ramah, when you transfer over to meat, you have to take that loaf of bread that you cut, take it off the table, clean the table from crumbs, wash your mouth out, and then, and only then, can you eat your meat. And the Ramah says, if you do that, it's zecher to the shtei halechem, because now you have to bring another loaf of bread to the table. And therefore the Ramah says that the laws of basar b'chalav challenge us. Now, why do I find this fascinating? Because one of the reasons why people go ahead and eat milchik on Shavuos is, of course, what? We got the Torah, we didn't know hilchot shechita, we didn't know how to make a kosher meat meal, so we just take milchiks. To remember that, we go ahead and we eat milchiks. A reason that was brought, I don't mizalzel. The Ramah says, that's not the reason. Hafuch. Once you got the Torah, and the Torah says, no mixing meat and milk, the Torah doesn't want you to be overly zealous and therefore just have milchik because you don't want it to mix up with fleishik. Or just have fleishik because you don't want it to mix it up with milchik. The Torah wants you to be challenged and keep the laws of meat and milk and not violate them. And the one way of doing that is to go to the extreme. What's the extreme? At the very same table, we're going to serve milchik and fleishik. One caveat. New loaf of bread, new tablecloth, new cutlery, new dishes, not the same. And therefore you fulfill the Torah in its beauty. You're not scared of challenges, you meet the challenges. And therefore, says the Ramah, once you've done that, it's a zecher l'shtei alechem. Because you have your bread number one for cream cheese, bread number two for meat, zecher l'shtei alechem. I would like to submit that if you don't do this, you're not being challenged. Just to eat milchik, so you just ate milchik. Just to eat fleishik, you just ate fleishik. Doing it both shows I am a Torah Jew, and a Torah Jew doesn't mix meat and milk. It doesn't mean he stops living. He doesn't mix it. And I'll give you a proof for what I say. Who do you think is greater? The malach that never had any sort of a yetzer hara, an aspiration to steal, to cheat on his wife, or to look at forbidden things, or a human being? Who has the bigger challenge? Obviously, Obviously, the human being. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Malachim when he came up to get the Torah on Shavuos. And indeed, the Malachim told him, he told the Malachim, due respect, guys, you don't have these challenges. We have the challenge. So it challenges you because you do have an inclination for meat and an inclination for milchik. Let's see you do it in a Torah way. And that's ultimately what the Rama says. You want to keep the laws of meat and milk that you got on this day of Shavuos? Show me. And showing me is not to just eat milk. Showing me is to eat milk and then meat, keeping all the laws and regulations of separating them. So I'm happy I can get off steam this morning and ultimately say that to say to someone that's a convert the most important thing on Yontif is milchik is a false statement. The most important thing on Yontif is wine. And then maybe meat. And then you could talk about the minhag of milchik. And even then I'd like to say the most appropriate way to fulfill it is to show you're challenged. And challenged means I can eat milk and I can eat meat and can be in the same kitchen and I won't violate even one law of basar b'chalav. Not the oraisa, not the rabbana, not even the minhagim of basar b'chalav. Wishing everyone a good yontiv, Baruch Hashem, as opposed to Pesach, we're coming into Shavuos when we're partially back in shul. It seems like the virus, Baruch Hashem, is going down and down in terms of its severity. And Bezrat Hashem, everyone should be zoche to a simchas yontiv in every which way, shape, and form. Take care, everyone. Have a good day.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.